Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Leslie Gold, along with my pal Valerie Smaldone. So the term thought leader is this buzzword that's been kicking around for a while. And I, for one, I'm not sure what it is, if it pays, or why it's desirable. So I sought out Dori Clark, who is a blogger, a professional speaker, a contributor to the Harvard Business Review, to Forbes, to Entrepreneur Magazine. She's also a branding expert and an accomplished author herself, and her new book is called Standout: How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. Dori, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what is a thought leader? First of all, how do you know if you are one or could be one?
So a thought leader, I actually like to break it down into its constituent parts. Basically, it means someone who is famous for their ideas, thus the thought part, and also someone who has a following. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to be a leader. So what it's distinct from, it's not a celebrity. It's not someone who's, you know, just famous for being famous. And it's not an ivory tower expert that is coming up with theories that no one listens to. It is somebody who is actively engaged in spreading their ideas in the world.
Okay, so in your book, Stand Out, you found these thought leaders and you interviewed them, and they, I guess, shared a secret with you about how to develop an idea and become a thought leader.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of people, successful folks, they're just going out there and doing it. So many of them, if you ask them, how do you become a thought leader, they might have trouble articulating it. But that's why I actually interviewed more than 50 people who are leaders in their fields to really try to see what the overall patterns are and reverse engineer it so that regular professionals could do the same thing.
Well, first of all, why do regular professionals want to be a thought leader? Does it pay? Does it always pay?
I would say that that it almost always pays in one way or another. What's really critical, I think some people get hung up on the idea that, I can't be a world leader in my field. That's only for geniuses or for special people. But the truth is, you don't have to be a world leader in your field for this to pay off. What I suggest that people need to think about is not necessarily becoming a thought leader in the universe, but becoming a thought leader in your company or in your community. Because when you are recognized as an expert by other people, it gives you a kind of career security. It helps the world see what you're capable of and why they should be doing business with you and not someone else.
Okay. So I see you spoke to people. I'm really old school, Dori, so I didn't know a lot of these people, Seth Godin, David Allen, Daniel Pink. But when I research them, I see that they're big deals. But I wonder if to become someone like a Seth Godin, who I'm sure is hired for his thoughts, speaks on his thoughts, he's got an online course, for instance, that you can pay to take. It's not prohibitively expensive, but he's getting paid for it. I wonder, in your interviews with them, did you find that there was a lot of donation of their thoughts in the beginning, that you have to be a thought leader, that you have to blog and write and maybe put out videos for quite a while for free?
You do. And part of the reason why this is important is that no one is going to pay you for your expertise until they're convinced that you have expertise. And this is a challenge. You can't just say, oh yes, I'm an expert, you know, give me money. You need to let people see it for themselves. And so a very common strategy that thought leaders pursue is that for a long time, this is an investment, you need to be communicating your ideas in a public fashion. That could mean blogging, it could mean doing a podcast or a radio show like this, it could mean writing a book, whether it's commercially published or self-published, giving speeches around your community. But somehow you need to share your ideas. That is a necessary first ingredient before anyone is going to really be paying attention to you or giving you money for your ideas.
I imagine it can be a hard step, though, to go for constantly doing everything for free to finally asking to be paid.
It is. And in fact, one of the things I talk about in Standout is that there is a little bit of a psychological leap that has to happen. There's a gentleman I profile named Ramit Sethi, who has a very popular blog and book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, that deals with personal finance and other lifestyle topics. And he told me about the very first time he charged for anything. He'd been blogging for free for 3 years. And he finally created a ebook that he sold for $4.95.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was it was the scariest moment in his career because it was the first time he asked for money. And sure enough, some people wrote back and said, you know, you're such a sellout. Why are you, you know, asking for money, you know, even though it was $5? and he felt really bad. But he realized if he was going to be successful, he would have to find a way to get over that and get past it, because otherwise it's just not sustainable.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the environment that we're in now. I blame the demise of the music industry for starting it, that people feel that they should have access to content for free at all times, in all ways, even though the people providing that content have to eat and put a roof over their head and support their family and so forth. There seems to be a big disconnect in today's world between putting out your content and getting, and people think you being worthy of getting paid for it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so that's why you actually can, if you don't have the right mindset, you can take content creation and thought leadership too far. You could spend your whole life blogging for free and you know, not making any money. So it is, at a certain point, once you have started to build up a sufficient reputation that people are starting to notice you, be aware of your ideas, then it becomes important to find ways to capitalize on it in some way, whether it is getting, you know, asking for a promotion or a raise if you're within a company, or if you're an independent thought leader, maybe it's starting to create things like courses or books that people might actually buy, because otherwise you're not going to be able to do it for the long term.
Okay, so I think that I'm a thought leader in my own mind about sleep and all the things that are wonderful about sleep. And I'm not even kidding you. It's when I was a morning show host on the radio. I got up at 3 in the morning to get to work to prepare my show, and then did the show from 6 to 10 and then worked a little more, and the rest of my life was ruined because I didn't get enough sleep no matter how hard I tried. And I promised myself I would never do that again, and since then sleep has been my number one priority, and I've noticed that it has improved my health. It certainly improved my disposition. It improved my ability to control my weight, my creativity, my focus. And as I've read about it, and amassing all this information about what sleep does for you physiologically and psychologically, I've been convinced that you can sleep your way to the top, which is my top line. So with that, how do I know if that's even a topic that people would want to know about, and how would I turn myself into a thought leader?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So in my book, Standout, I outline a three-step process to spreading your ideas. The first step is what I call building your network, which is basically vetting the idea with a trusted group of advisors. You know, start by talking to your friends, your contacts. Maybe there's a doctor in your network for your particular situation. Make sure your ideas are solid and test them out to see what resonates.
Okay.
Next, you build your audience, which is sharing it more publicly. So writing, talking about it, giving the speeches, as we mentioned. And then finally, when people start to get excited about it, the great news is they start talking about it with each other. At that point, you have built a community.
And then how do I get paid for that? Do I write a book? Do I ask someone to hire me to speak about it? How do you turn it into money?
So there's a few different ways that thought leaders can monetize. And actually, I have the last section of my book, Standout, talks about this. But some typical ways, just using you as a case study, I can imagine that maybe at first you're starting to blog for free. After a while, when you build up a reputation, some journals may want to, you know, popular health journals may want to start paying you for your writing. That's one. You may want to write a book and could get an advance from a publisher. That's another. Getting paid to speak absolutely is a very common way to monetize. I think that this is perfect actually for an online course, and there are ways that people can do that through Udemy or other online platforms where they can create a course, you know, a couple hour course, and have a recurring revenue stream where people can sign up and learn how to sleep better. You could start doing workshops that are open to the public, or consulting where you do a workshop for a corporation. You can do lunch and learns or afternoon sessions. And I think all of those could be good. One of the most interesting things is that for most multimillionaires, I've learned from the author James Altucher, who's researched this, they actually have close to 15 different streams of income.
Wow.
And so, not putting all your eggs in one basket, getting money from a variety of different ways is the new way to be successful.
Dory, thank you. The book is called Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. Dory herself is a thought leader, and she can teach you through this book how you can become one and how you can even get paid for it. Dory, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The book is widely available. It's called Stand Out. And you can find more about Dory at her website, doryclark.com. That's DoriClark.com. We'll be right back. I'm Leslie Gold. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Janice lives in Hawaii and has a respected traditional Hawaiian surname with 36 letters. Janice's driver's license doesn't have room for her first name or the last few letters of her last name, which is a major identification issue. The Hawaii Department of Transportation has a maximum character length of 34 letters. Legally, is there anything Janice can do? The Final Verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic and one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Legally, there is nothing she can do. But once made aware of the problem, the Hawaii DOT increased the maximum character length, so now Janice's full name appears on her license. And that's the final verdict.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This tennis star holds career records for most singles and doubles titles. She won an astounding 59 Grand Slams, including 9 Wimbledon singles championships.
She's a sign of the old Martina.
30-50.
Glorious backhand volley on the last shot.
So where is Martina Navratilova now? Martina was treated for breast cancer in 2010. She recovered and attempted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. However, her lungs had difficulty with the altitude, and she was briefly hospitalized. But Martina says the riskiest thing she's done since turning 50 was compete on the British TV show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I did it!
Well done, Martina. Yeah.
That was something. Actually, I bit my nose, and I started crying. Because it bit my nose. That's when I closed my eyes. And I have all these cockroaches crawling on me, and I don't even care.
Looks like nothing bugs Martina. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.